Friday afternoon. Hi, hello, and howdy. Michael Benner now with InterVision till 2 o'clock this afternoon. InterVision, a program about spirituality and health, a program about metaphysics and mysticism and magic, a program about consciousness, discovering and developing the true essence of who you really are, what you're for, maybe even why you're here, that kind of thing. And, you know, before I begin, I must say we just had the best time last week with our, and the week before with our fundraising. And I am, the British would say gobsmacked. I'm blown away. I'm gobsmacked. It was incredible the way you guys stood up and anteed up. I believe the numbers for this program are as follows. We did $23,000 in change 2 weeks ago today, special two-hour version of Friday InterVision. We came back the following week and did $14,000. And then last Friday's program was replayed on Monday in a different time slot, not 1 to 3, but I think it was 2 to 4. And at another $7,500. We had donations running from $2,500 up to $7,000. We had several people that were donating $2,000-$3,000. And again, one $7,000 contribution. Now, I don't care how much money somebody's got, whether it's a little or a lot, to donate $7,000 to KPFK. And, again, there are people from whom, you know, a $50 donation is a challenge, you know, $1 a week. And so it's not really the amount. I mean, it is. Part of it is just, whew, boy, you know, we exceeded our goal. We went an extra day to do it, but we exceeded our goal. And I'm just very, very proud of all the KPFK listeners and especially listeners to this program for recognizing the opportunity to be a part of this. Again, I see responsibility in this sense not as an obligation so much as an opportunity. And I guess a lot of you good people agree with me. So I'm blown away. I've been here 14 years. We've never had a show that pulled in that kind of money. And people took premiums, but, you know, one of the things I love about this audience is that of all the shows, they seem to be, you seem to be the least interested in what you can get back. We had some wonderful books and DVDs and CDs, and we'll be getting those together and mailing them out to you. And if you asked for that, you'll be getting it, and we're happy to give it to you. But every once in a while, in fact, more often than you might expect, people say, Dad, give that to somebody else. I'm just pledging because I love KPFK and the Pacifica Mission and InterVision. The very fact that we get a program in the middle of the day, every day, Monday through Friday, Lisa calls it the Aware Show. Monday, Tuesday, and Friday is called InterVision, but it's always about spirituality, mind science, heart science, if you will. And And we get that, is, and are able to hold on to it, is really due to the kind of confirmation that we get when you pledge during these fund drives. So now we're set for another 4 months. We're going to rock and roll commercial-free, thanks to you, and maybe even do some extra special things for you now that there's a little more money in the hopper. So, again, let me catch my breath. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was just really, really great. We're going back to a tradition that started years ago on this program. I don't always do it, but usually after the three times a year fundraising, when we come back to regular programming, as we're doing today, right now, I like to go back to basics in terms of what are the basics in personal and spiritual development? What is fundamental to personal and spiritual development? And it's really fear. Now, fear is not a clinical term. Fear usually refers to danger. The clinical term for a similar feeling is anxiety, and then it foments a process, a dynamic that we call stress, and I'm going to talk about that today, but not from a psychological point of view. I'd like to talk about fear, confusion, stress, even evil. Even the concept of evil is very intimately related to fear and ignorance, or anxiety and confusion, if you will. And so I'd like to talk about it from a point of view of philosophy, of politics. Certainly fear is extant in the land. We're supposed to be afraid of our enemies, but our leaders are frightening us as well. And so it's a kind of a spy versus spy in the outer world of who can be more terrible, the terrorists or the good torturers. You know, we're the good torturers and they're the bad torturers. We're the good terrorists and they're the bad terrorists. It's pretty sick. And what is terror? Why is fear? Why did Roosevelt, for example, say the only thing you have to fear is fear itself? Probably because Eleanor told him to say that. I know that came from Eleanor Roosevelt. She's got some great quotes on fear. Like, let's see if I can remember a couple. Do the thing you fear and the death of fear is certain. That's Eleanor Roosevelt. And let's see. There's a couple others that I edited a quotes book once, and I had five or six fear quotes by Eleanor Roosevelt, and then one by her cousin who became her husband, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That's the one that's remembered, of course. The only thing you have to fear is fear itself. Well, then why is George Bush trying to scare us? Well, I think there's a number of answers for to that, but it all comes down to, because it's a matter of control. That's how you control people, is with fear. And then there's the internal fear. I want to talk about that too. So that's our topic. That's our theme for today. D'Angelo's our engineer. Brooks Willicks is back. She's our producer. She'll take your telephone calls. Basically, I'll just comment on this, develop this idea, and then at about half past, we'll take a short break and come back with your telephone calls and your questions and comments on this whole topic. Because there is no progress on the spiritual path unless and until we face fear. And I'll say that again. There is no progress. You could put your feet on the path, but you are not moving forward on the spiritual path without facing fear directly. You must face fear. There are certainly many people in this field, human potential, personal development, spiritual development, that want you to believe if you just hang a poster of rainbows and unicorns on your wall and be nice and act spiritual and wear robes or beads or something, then everything's cool. Everything is not cool. we have to, not only as part of positive thinking, look at the negative, but to find love in the belly of the beast, to find love by facing fear. Now, a lot of spiritual teachers don't teach this, but I'm going to develop the case for it. It can be discussed in many different ways, and so I'll just lay out a few basic points, and then hopefully, again, at about 5:30, we'll take your telephone calls. That's really all I got. Oh, I wanted to mention the blog spot also on the website, because and the iPod, too, those three things, because often I space it out. I forget to mention that you can listen to this program, podcast, absolutely free. All you have to do is go to the iTunes Music Store, click on Podcasts, and type in my name. And two programs will come up. One is a program called Breakthrough Radio that I did with my friend Steve Snyder for about 13 months. And it's all human potential, personal development, accelerated learning in sports psychology, and has an overtone of spiritual development, but it's basically mind science and personal development from a secular or a humanist point of view. Breakthrough Radio, you'll like that. You can subscribe to that for free. And the second program that'll pop up is this one. It'll say KPFK's Inner Vision. But you can't search by KPFK. You have to put my name in there, Michael Benner, and it'll pop up. Now, if you don't have iTunes and you can't get to the iTunes Music Store, then go to my website, theagelesswisdom.com. Remember the T-H-E after the W's. It's theagelesswisdom.com. And click on podcast, and then the instructions are there. You can subscribe to it. It's just a matter of cut and paste, and or copy and paste. Careful. And you'll get the podcast. Okay? It's pretty cool. And the blog, well, Inner Vision Comments, pretty easy to remember, innervisioncomments.blogspot.com. And that also is free, of course. And you can leave text comments there and respond to other people who have left text comments. I just need to remember to mention it. It's also a great way to find out past shows. You can scroll back and see, well, what did Benner do on Inner Vision Friday a few weeks ago? So innervisioncomments.blogspot.com. So there you go, the blog, the podcasting, and the website. It's all there for you, and it's all absolutely free. Okay? You can check on the KPFK website, too. In fact, you should on a regular basis. KPFK.org for the podcasts of many other programs here on KPFK, and I'm sure that list will grow as time goes on and more people find out just how cool this is, whole idea of podcasting. Very democratic. Hell, you can do your own radio program, you know. Sometimes folks come to me and say, how do I get a show on KPFK? And I say, well, it's not easy, but why don't you podcast? And they go, huh, what? Yeah, man, you can do a show that's available to people all over the world simply by podcasting. So if you're not sure what that's about, find a 12-year-old or a 14-year-old. They'll fill you in. All right, let's talk about fear. Here's where we have to begin. Fear is almost never about danger. All right, that's point number one. If you were going to take notes, that would go at the, at the top of the page. Fear is also not surprise. You know, if somebody comes up behind you and they go, boo, you might jump and react automatically and say, oh, you scared me. No, not really. They surprised you. That's not fear. That's surprise. It's an autonomic reaction. Okay? Sort of like when the medical doctor hits your knee with that little pink hammer, that little triangular rubber hammer, and your knee swings out before you even sense it in the head. It's a reaction, autonomic reaction. And most fear is that same way because the body is programmed to presume that all fear is possibly dangerous, that there just could be some danger in somebody coming up behind you and going, boo. All right? But here's what I want to explain to you, And if you disagree, that's fine, too. I'm not laying down the dogma here. It's real important, I think, to understand that the vast majority, 99.99999% of the fear in our lives has nothing to do with any real danger, but simply is a feeling that goes with things unknown or confusing. You see? I mean, how many times have you said to somebody, well, what are you afraid of? What are you worried about? And they went, well, I don't know. Well, that's the point. That's what that fear is. It's a feeling of things unknown or confusing. I'll admit that there is such a thing, obviously, as clear and present danger. You know, you're getting carjacked, and someone's got a gun pointed at your head. Fine, that's the fear of real danger. Or, you know, there's a rabid dog chasing your ass down the alley. Fine, real danger. I get it. I understand. But, come on, you got to admit, that's exceedingly rare. You could say, well, the whole world's at danger with 50,000 nukes. And, yeah, and now North Korea's got the bomb, and Israel has the bomb, and Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and, of course, India and France and several other nations all have nukes. England, I think Spain. And that nuclear proliferation, you could say, well, we're in danger from global warming. We're in danger from just the oppression of the government. And there's a lot of different scenarios that you could argue are dangerous. But the personal fear and anxiety that people suffer in their daily life and affairs, nah, it's not about real, clear, and present danger. It's about things unknown and confusing. Now, the second point has to be that this fear that is essentially always, 99.999% of the time, about things unknown and confusing, not real danger, that that the antidote for this, obviously, would be things known and understood. It's not a matter of controlling the stimulus, that which evokes the danger or causes you to feel the danger. And yet, again, because we have this bias that fear is primarily about things that are dangerous, we want to control the external world. And in fact, if fear is really not danger, hardly ever, but instead things unknown, then knowledge would be the antidote. Or maybe understanding. I like that word even better. And yes, indeed, there is a quote by Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, that Emerson, who said simply about 150 years ago, knowledge is the antidote to fear. Okay? Now, from here, we really have to step to the idea that every problem that you have in your daily life and affairs, and everything that hurts and upsets you emotionally is a manifestation of this fear, this confusion, these things unknown. That so-called positive and negative feelings are really feelings that are rooted in love and understanding, the positive ones. Notice how those two go together, love and understanding. Or the so-called negative feelings, everything that hurts and upsets you, is born of fear and ignorance. And just as fear comes out of confusion and ignorance, it promotes more ignorance. You see the dynamic? Fear of the unknown is a vicious cycle. It goes round and round. What you don't know is scary, and that confuses you. So now you know even less. And that makes you more frightened and more confused and more fearful and more confused. And everything that hurts you emotionally or upsets you, angers you, frustrates you, and every problem that you approach mentally is supported by, born of, and exacerbated by this vicious cycle of fear and confusion. Do you see why George Bush wants to scare you? He wants to confuse you. He wants you to be as confused as he is. I think sometimes we give Bush too much credit. I should probably say a little disclaimer here. When I talk about Bush, I'm talking about the whole machine in Washington, the neocons. Bush is told what to say. It's pretty clear he's not more than a figurehead for the real dark evil that we're talking about. Oh, by the way, did you hear Cheney? He okayed waterboarding. Said it was a no-brainer. He should know. No-brainer indeed. This is why fear is being used against us. Okay? Terror on both sides. That's why we fight terror with terror. We fight fear with fear. We fight hatred with hate. Because just like the permanent bases in Iraq, we have no intention of leaving Iraq, and we have no intention of creating a peaceful, safe world. I say we again. These neocons that have taken over. Now, just as fear comes out of ignorance, that fear, I'm arguing, is, you know, it can lead to a dangerous situation, but this set of negative feelings is really born out of what you don't know. And so, again, confusion promotes that fear or anxiety, and that leads to more confusion, and round it goes. Isn't it interesting that so-called positive feelings are part of a similar process, only it's complementary. Here, it's peace of mind, or love, which promotes understanding. You want to understand something, you can't get worked up and anxious, you have to take a breath and relax. It's like, you know, and then all of a sudden, oh, I got a good idea. Oh, I just understood something. Oh, I just remembered, all right? That aha, that eureka illumination, is promoted by a peaceful countenance, inner peace, peace of mind, or spiritual love, which is fearlessness. All of the qualities of spiritual love, from kindness and generosity and patience and tolerance and compassion and forgiveness, is about a quality of understanding things that, again, promotes a peace of mind or a loving state, an absence of fear, which promotes more understanding and more peace and more understanding and more peace. So this is a different approach than you're probably used to so-called peace. That it's not just some condition or goal, but it is the means to the goal. As we used to say, well, maybe still said, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Peace is the process of understanding. So if the real evil is fear and ignorance, then the antidote has to be love and understanding. This is why the ancient Egyptians were very clear about the idea that evil was ignorance, born of fear, which promotes more ignorance. That's what evil is. Forget this little guy dressed up in the red suit, you know, the parody on Pan that the church gave us. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, the guy in the red underwear with the horns and the pitchfork and all of that. The idea that you can personify evil. And there are a lot of people, the otherwise intelligent people, or seemingly so, that really believe, like a child believes in the tooth fairy, I guess, that there is this persona, and it gets confused with Lucifer. That's a whole nother story. Well, we could do a whole show on the confusion around Lucifer, Satan, and the personification of evil. But make no mistake about it, in a religious context, a non-religious spiritual context, a philosophical or psychological context, there's a pretty big consensus that what fear is ignorance. Evil is fear and ignorance. Okay? And so, if the antidote is understanding, then what is it that we don't understand? What is it that we need to understand? Again, consider that whenever you're hurt or upset, I don't care the nature of that hurt emotion, or that upset feeling, or the problem that you're approaching mentally. If it's problematic, or if it hurts, if it's upsetting you, it's born of something you don't know. Anyone would want to say, well, I need to know more about current events. I need to know more about Bush and Cheney and these neocons are up to. I need to know more about global warming. I need to know more about the economy and what's the plundering of the middle class. I need to know more about the world around me. Well, yeah, okay. But this is the third and final major point I want to make about fear. At the center of the things unknown, of all fear, is less about any real danger than just confusion. And if secondly, that fear and confusion, that fear and ignorance, that vicious cycle going round and around, supports all of your problems, exacerbates them, and is the font of all hurt and upset, the source of everything that hurts you and upsets you, then the third point has to be in the center of all of the things unknown that support this hurt, that engenders fear and creates more confusion, is the self. Point three, the self. You don't know yourself. It's important to know the world around us. I think, you know, you got to listen to KPFK and get diverse and antagonistic information. Go to other sources for news and information. Read a variety. Read the mainstream corporate rags and then read progressive literature as well. And then think for yourself. Read between the lines. Know the world around you. You know, take care of each other. Watch your back. Know the world around you. But having said that, I think it's even more important to know yourself, especially as an antidote to fear. And these are the three points that I'd love to riff on during the second half of the show. 818-985-5735. Again, Brooks will take your telephone calls. Especially any questions that you have about this. We have better conversations when you lead with questions. I'll take your comments. All right. On the nature of fear, the vicious cycle of fear and ignorance as the root of evil. That fear is almost never about anything truly dangerous. It's about things unknown. That fear, secondly, supports every problem you've got, compounds and exacerbates your problems. It also gives birth to, is the source of all of your emotional hurt and upset, your angst and your frustration. And then the center of all of the anxiety and confusion is the self. This is one of the most important topics of all, fear and the fact that it's born of your failure to understand yourself. Because as you know yourself, like the ancient Greek admonition, know thyself. Religious people often say, seek and find God. To me, those are exactly the same admonitions. To know yourself, to know God, that's the same thing. But few people have any interest in doing that. Here we have all of this fingerprint evidence, all of this DNA evidence now, that every single human being is unique, and who do you know who's even interested in exploring their uniqueness? Otherwise, intelligent, well-educated individuals, interested in the world, enthusiastic, great visions, they want to know everything that they can know about the world around them, but they have no interest. Even though presented with the evidence, you are unique, nobody like you, nobody's ever had that DNA, nobody's ever had those fingerprints, nobody's ever had your worldview, your outlook, not exactly like you. Nobody's had the background, the experiences. Wouldn't that merit some investigation, especially if you knew that it was the primary way of moving from fear and ignorance to peace and understanding, to know thyself, and to do it in a spiritual context? All you would need then would be tools. Well, how do I discover myself? First, we need interest. Can I get a witness? Can we find somebody who's interested in discovering their uniqueness, instead of responding to fear by wanting to be liked and accepted and approved of, and so I will find out how I am like other people so I can be liked by other people, and I will discount and ignore the fact that I'm incomparable. I'm not like other people. Wouldn't you? It's like, why aren't you interested in that? Maybe you are. In what makes you tick. In why you think the thoughts you think. And why you behave the way you do. Why you feel the feelings that you feel. You know, everybody's got this idea from time to time that they're crazy, that nobody thinks the way I think, or nobody knows how I feel. As a kid, when you first fall in love, you think you're Romeo and Juliet. Oh, nobody has ever loved the way, you remember that? Nobody has ever loved the way we love. Let's do it in the road. It's like, well, that's probably true. Nobody's ever loved quite the way you've ever loved. And your thoughts, yeah, they are weird. Of course, they're you know, you are weird and wild and wacky and wonderful, just wonderful. And we should celebrate that. We are not going to have a world that works together. We're not going to have a unified world. We will not have a harmonious world until we honor that we're all unique and deal with that paradox. Philosophers call it the one in the many. How can we spiritually be one if we're all unique? And so what a lot of people do is they just ignore or deny the unique part and say, we're all one, we're all the same, we're all equal. No, we're not. Not even close. As spiritual beings, we are part of one thing, one universe. That means one verse. There is but one ocean. One God, one thing, one life, absolute totality, to the exclusion of no thing, spiritually. But you come into form, we're separated and unique. And we have to honor both of those things, I would argue, and face our fear, born of what we don't know about the world, and even more importantly, face the fear born of what we don't know about ourselves as an individual, how we fit into this relationship, this family, this community, this nation, this world. That's the order, not the outside in. You don't fix the world so that you can have some peace. Create some inner peace and some personal integrity and give that out to the world from the inside out, from the insight out. Know thyself, and you can be fearless. You can approach it. You can approach it. Those are the three premises that I'd like to get some response to. If you give us a call, 818-985-5735. First show after the fall fundraising campaign, so we call it the Back to Basics program. Nothing is more basic than fear and ignorance, the antithesis of love and understanding. Fear and ignorance, the problem that underlies all problems, love and understanding, the solution. We're talking about the path between the two, the mystic's path, the middle way. And it requires that you know yourself. How? Give me a call. We'll talk about it. 818-985-5735, 985-KPFK. Let's take a little break, and we'll be back on the other side with your telephone calls. It's Inner Vision, Friday edition on KPFK.
Live worldwide at KPFK.org.
And until next time, peace and love remain strong.
KPFK Los Angeles, that is strength, peace, and love. Again, that's exactly what we're talking about. The antidote to fear and ignorance, could it be this simple? Well, yeah, I think so, at least on this show. That's what I've come to understand. This is really why I gave up journalism 25 years ago. Two reasons. Number one, you can see what happened to it. It's embarrassing. I mean, it's just shameful. Most journalists are afraid to admit they're even, even in the business. Like less credibility than a used car salesman to be a so-called journalist anymore. There's a few doing good work, of course, but. Anyway, we're talking about fear and ignorance and confusion, and really the second reason that I left journalism 25 years ago was I figured this out. I found the story that the reason humans behave the way they do, the undercurrent of every news story there is, fear and ignorance. I can't find a story that isn't ultimately a story about fear and ignorance. And the antidote is peace of mind or spiritual love, fearlessness, and understanding. And at the center of that is the self. Does that work for you? Well, whether it does or not, give me a call, 818-985-5735. We go to the phones now. We're here till 2 with InterVision. We go to Sherman Oaks. And Jack, you're on the air with Michael Benner. Hi. Jack, are you there? We're dead air. Nada. Not just every problem supported by fear, but all of your hurt. I think this surprises a lot of people to find out that there is a common link to everything that hurts or upsets you. Again, not just your problems, but everything that hurts you, all of your anguish, all of your sadness, all of your depression. I'm sure I could find some psychotherapists, some marriage, family, child people to come in and argue this with me. And in fact, we have done some of that, but often they tend to agree with this and accept this premise, this idea that everything that hurts is ultimately rooted in a failure to understand yourself. And if we knew that, I mean, my God, think about this. If you knew this, then any time you were confused and had a problem, that's basically the mental approach. We call them problems. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I got a problem, and I'm going to use my thoughts to sort through that. But also everything that hurts, your sadness, your depression, your loneliness, your alienation, your anger, your heartache. What if every time you hurt, you said, this is a symptom of something I don't understand about myself? This is a symptom, just like your physical pain is a symptom, a way of getting your attention. So your emotional pain is a symptom, a way of getting your attention and saying, hey, there is something about you that you don't understand. There's something about you that if you understood, what is this? Oh, the phones aren't working. Oh, I see. All right. That's why. Because I see all these calls here. My apologies. Well, we'll see if we can get this fixed. I just got a note that the phones aren't working. So I'll riff a little more on this. See if we can get these phones fixed, because I know there's people here wanting to get through. Hang in there if you're on the line, if you're on hold. Hang in. We'll see if we can figure out what the deal is. It's just not coming up on the council. So here, let's go back to this idea, because this could save you a lot of money. In counseling and therapy, and I don't know, you got to find a therapist that knows this stuff. And again, I don't want to suggest that it's this simple. I'm just saying this is the way you get your foot in the door. This is, you know, like on a board game, there's a square where you start, you know, the beginning, the spot mark go or start here or whatever. And that's what I'm talking about. What if, again, everything that hurts you, all of your anxiety, all of your heartache and your sadness, all of your depression, the reason you can't sleep at night, your ADD, we're inventing new ways for new terms for old conditions. Like people have never had ADD until they had the drug for it, and then they got a drug for it, so they had to give it a name. And it's stress, gang, ADD. Insomnia, it's stress. Illness, why do you think they call it dis-ease? It's stress. In other words, it's fear and ignorance. And it's always about you, not the world around you so much. Again, know the world. Be informed. Study current events. But that's not enough. That's not the world you need to fix. The world you need to fix is your world, your world view. And if you knew that, every time you hurt, you said, this is about me, and you took a breath and you closed your eyes, even if caused by somebody else, you say, well, I'm angry because so-and-so, well, you should have heard what they said to me. They made me angry, or I'm jealous because, well, I mean, my God, look, the flirting that's going on here, and they made me feel this way. Yeah, well, that's hardly the point. Your emotions are a response to that stimulus, a response to that cause, a symptom of your condition. And if, you know, if that's the only thing that I, if that was the only message I had, and it's not, I got lots of them, but that would be enough. That would suffice. You can't, it's rather arrogant to go around saying to people again and again, well, sorry you feel that way, but of course it's about you. And yet that's the freedom. That's the way out. You know those sayings, you cannot heal what you cannot feel, and the only way out is through. And there's more. We see the world not as it is, but as we are. What the self defines, defines the self. Well. And most people aren't interested. They don't want to know. They don't want to understand. They want to blame. They want to play victim. And will even deliberately carry grudges. Will go out of their way to maintain the hurt, as if that proves to whatever individual or group or event or circumstance caused the heartache or the anger, the hurt or the upset. I'm going to prove to you how bad you are by carrying this hurt. I will not put it down. I will not forgive. I'm going to carry the hurt. Well, who hurts? It's like so silly. And if you knew, again, it was about you, there's something you can do about it. Close your eyes, relax, calm the heart, quiet the mind, and get insight and understanding. Okay, let's see if we can get these phones working now. Let's go to Redlands then and try John. You're on KPFK, John, with Michael Benner. Hi. No? Still not working. We thought we had it up. All right. Well, sometimes phones go down. Thank God this didn't happen during the fun drive. We had phones working then. If you're just joining us, we're about three-quarters of the way into InnerVision. Heard Fridays from 1 till 2, and normally I take telephone calls during the second half of the program. I set a theme, and then we take calls. But if you're just joining us and wondering what the deal is, some sort of telephone glitch. So, again, if you're calling in and you're on the line and you wanted to get on the air, stay if you can. Stay on the line. We're working on it. Thought we had it there, but... And on my end, we're talking about fear and ignorance. We're talking about the heart and soul of evil. And my argument is three basic points. Number one, I'll just recap briefly here. Number one, fear is rarely, if ever, about danger. You know, even if your fear is about real, clear and present danger, somebody, you know, shooting a gun at you or somebody out to get you or whatever, even then, the fear is mostly what you do not know about the danger. So even if your fear is truly about some sort of danger, it's what you don't know about the danger that's most frightening. And again, that's an extremely small percentage of the fear in our lives. 99% plus is about things unknown. And that's part of a dynamic. Because that confusion, that ignorance, promotes more fear, and fear confuses us, and it goes around and around, vicious cycle. Okay? That's point number one. Fear is really things unknown. Again, how many times have you said to somebody, or have they said to you, well, what are you worried about? What are you afraid of? And we keep coming up with, well, I really don't know. There you go. That's the point. All right. The second concept that I put out today is the idea that every problem that you have and every hurt feeling, upset, is supported by this dynamic, this vicious cycle of anxiety and confusion or fear and ignorance. And the third point is, it's really about you. It's not about the stimulus. It's not about the cause. It's not about what other people, they might, you know, it's about you. Your emotions are a response. Sometimes, and I hope this doesn't sound like pompous or anything, but I'm stunned at how few people understand that their emotions are a response and that your emotional feelings say virtually nothing about the stimulus or the cause, the person or the group or the event that caused the feeling. The emotions are a response. They're very personal. Emotions are intimate. Those are yours. Look at it this way. If, God forbid, somebody gets hit by a car at the corner of First Avenue and Second Street, let's say it's a 1968 Buick, and they get hit by a car and they're hurt, and they go to the hospital, and the doctor says, well, where is it hurt? And they said, well, back at First and Second. This 68 Buick hit me. And the doctor would say, no, that's not what we mean. Not where did you get hurt, but where does it hurt? Does this hurt? And the patient might say to the doctor, well, now, wait a minute, doc. How are you going to solve a problem without knowing the cause? I'm trying to tell you the cause of my pain. It was a 68 Buick. It's the corner of 1st Street and 2nd Avenue. Way back there. And the doctor says, well, I'm not interested. You can call the cops when you get out of here. You can file a police report. But I'm not interested in the cause of your pain. The patient says, why? And the doctor would say, because it's your pain now. It was done to you by the 68 Buick. But the pain that you suffer from being hit by that car tells you nothing about the fact that it was a 68 Buick. All right. Or a 1972 Chevrolet or a Hummer. It doesn't tell you anything about the car, the make, the model, the brand, even though the car caused the pain. It tells you nothing about the driver. Or even the intention of the driver. Your pain is about your injury, your condition. As you heal, your physical pain ebbs. Why is that so hard to understand when it comes to having a broken heart? And you obsess on the individual that broke your heart. Or who, the individual who broke your heart. Oh, how could they do that to me? I know, I've spent enough time doing it. It's natural. Again, it's part of the fight-or-flight response. Just might be some danger there, so know the enemy. Obsess on why they would cause you that pain. And the idea that the pain, the heartache, the sadness, the depression, the angst, the anger, the frustration, whatever is your response, your intimate and personal response to what's been done to you, seems to escape most people, and even a lot of therapists, I think, who will play that game with you and say, yeah, you need to have better control of your spouse. You need to... No, you don't. You need to understand yourself, to know yourself. That's why we have emotions. That's what they are. That's a response to that situation. So we seem to understand this when it comes to physical pain. Somebody hits you upside the head with a baseball bat, you get a big goose egg and it really hurts. That pain does not tell you anything about the baseball bat. Doesn't tell you anything about the person wielding the baseball bat. The pain is about your injury. It was caused by a person wielding a baseball bat. But the pain is your response please understand that about your emotions, because everything that hurts or upsets you, any so-called negative feeling, is born of this vicious cycle of fear and ignorance, at the center of which is you. It's the whole point. This is a way to get a handle on fear. This is how you become fearless. This is the bottom line to spiritual love, is fearlessness. I just got a few more minutes, and I wish we didn't have this telephone problem, but we do, so I'll riff through it like this. We live in a Western society. We're mostly Judeo-Christian. Let me pull on the story of the Christ, the message of Calvary, which many of us believe has been really misrepresented, ironically, by the Church, the Catholics, and later the Protestants. To be about salvation in the sense of, well, you got to be perfect to enter the kingdom of heaven, and since they pulled reincarnation out of the Gospels, we got to invent another way to get perfect. So if you don't have multiple lifetimes, then, well, we got to make up a story about Christ's blood washing away your sins, and all you got to do is accept Jesus as your Savior, and you go right to the head of the head of the pack. Maybe the message of Calvary is about a quality of love that is, forgive them for they know not what they do. A quality of love that human beings have rarely experienced. Imagine forgiving, having compassion for the people who are murdering you, or your children like the Amish, who immediately, before the sun went down, forgave the man that slaughtered their children and invited his widow and children to the funeral and to share in the fund that was being, you know, the monies that were being collected. There is no vengeance in Christianity. Not really. There shouldn't be anyway, because love is at its height, forgiveness and compassion, and another word that's rarely talked about, fearlessness. Can you imagine the fearless quality of spiritual love that would allow somebody to forgive their murderer while they're being murdered, while you're being murdered? You ask God to forgive the people that are killing you? Call that forgiveness. Call that compassion. Today, I'm going to call that fearlessness. You see? So the antithesis of fear is this quality of love. The antithesis of the ignorance born of fear is understanding, at the center of which is the self. Know thyself. Meditate. Introspect. Contemplate. Consider that you are not your thoughts. You are the awareness. You are not your feelings. You are the awareness. We know people who think they are their cars. We know people who think they are their property. We know people who think they are their jewelry and their trophy wives. And you laugh at them. Go further. You are not your trophy wife. You are not your country club membership. You are not your money, but you're also not your body. It's your vehicle. Take care of it. You are not your thoughts or your feelings. They're important to you. Use them. But be the one who stands behind and be interested and curious in your uniqueness, especially if you sense the oneness of all things, and then work through that paradox, the one and the many. Spiritually, there's just one life at work, but in form, each of us are not only separate, but unique and diverse. And that merits some insight. And everything that hurts and all of your fear and everything that exists in this world as evil can go away as people understand themselves, develop what they understand about their uniqueness, and then begin to give that away out into the world. Okay? I still want you to vote. I still want you to boycott. I still want you to protest and picket. I still want you to raise holy hell, direct action, the whole deal. But know thyself. Sorry the phones didn't work today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling. Subscribe to the podcast and visit the website. A lot of cool stuff for you. TheAgelessWisdom.com. Remember the T-H-E, TheAgelessWisdom.com. And thanks for the opportunity to talk about fear and everything that hurts. And let me just give you all a big ear hug. Take care of yourselves. Do not be afraid. Refuse to be afraid. Know yourself. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks to D'Angelo Jones, our engineer as always, and Brooks, our producer. Thanks to Doreen Key, my wife, for all her help. Mike Kim, Kurt Wyman, Roy Batchelor. Got so many helpers out there. And join us next week. I bet we'll have phones for Friday.